Cauldron FM.
Online.
The sound of magic.
Well, welcome back to this fantastic interview with Tom Newman and Paul Brett to welcome the release of the album The Children of Ireland's Tubular Bells, the remake produced by Tom and promoted by Viral Discs and Downloads. So, back to the interview.
Tell me a bit about Viral Discs and Downloads, how that came to be and what it all is all about.
Well, what we... I think Paul would agree that the agenda that we've got at the moment is kind of flexible still, obviously, because you know we're putting our feet into territory that we've never actually as daft musicians we've never really got into before. It started to build around the idea of the Tubular Bells for the Children of Ireland thing. That was the principle. We thought we've just got to get this out. Having done that, of course, the idea of then having a label with this one record on it doesn't make sense, of course. And we've been producing Slap Soul, which is these two lovely lads from North Wales, and that's going very well. I've just finished recording the second half of their what will be their first album. I haven't finished it yet, but we've done the main bulk of recordings.
Uh-huh.
So that's one of the next projects to kind of finish, is to finish that recording, and we're looking at putting that on Viral Discs and Downloads as well. And the idea has started to germinate and to grow that this is a perfect kind of follow through. Somehow it's kind of doing what Virgin was kind of designed to do in the beginning, but without Richard being involved, obviously. We've got our first production, the Children of Ireland, and now it's an opportunity to kind of carry on where Virgin left off. We've kind of half decided that we want to create a broad band label, not a label that is confined to a particular genus of music. You know, like everything gets very readily nowadays put in a box, and the limitations of that box have become narrower and narrower and narrower. Even with modern music, you know, there's dub soul and there's beat and there's garage, funk, dub, whatever. I mean, I've got no idea what all those genres are. So what we've kind of decided to do is to completely ignore them and pretend they don't exist and just look for music that moves us and that we believe should be out there. And one of the other things is that we've got this kind of sneaky agenda to undermine the Simon Cowell syndrome of absolutely plastic nonsense. You know, Simon Cowell, the kind of thing that Simon promotes is absolutely cliched, you know, preordained kind of sampled stuff with all the voices go through tuners and it all comes out sounding the same, basically. And we want to try and undermine that. And one of the things that we've kind of decided to do with the next project with the schools that the reason we're in Scotland now is that we're working like we've just been swept around the country by Hugh Taylor, who's a very interesting and influential Scots DJ, who kind of hijacked the next project. We wanted to do Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band with somebody, with us, with a schools group somewhere, as a follow-up to the Children of Ireland doing Tubular Bells. The next album, the best and most influential album of all time, is Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. I mean, it broke up all of the. It was in some ways the start of prog rock. It was the start of psychedelic rock. It was the beginning of something that is still practically every tune that you find now from a rock and roll band has got some kind of Beatles influence in it somewhere along the line. So it was the obvious next step, really, to see. And the, interestingly, the one thing that nobody's ever dared to look at has been covering or tampering with Sergeant Pepper, because it is sacrosanct. It's like the Quran and the Holy Grail. You know, nobody dares to touch it, you know. So we thought, well, you know, let's go for it. We're ancient people. We're old crusties. And the one thing we've got is a lot of chutzpah. I don't want to use the word bollocks because your lady's there, but you need balls to take on Sergeant Pepper, you know. And we've got to do it. We can't not do it. We looked at each other in the eye and said, Sergeant Pepper's got to be. But then we thought, well, that's an English thing. Liverpool is England, kind of. So we were going to think, we were thinking about offering it to some area, maybe Liverpool. But then we talked to Hugh Taylor on a thing like this, an interview, a radio interview on his station, and mentioned Sergeant Pepper. And he said, hey, you're not doing that. And he grabbed it from us so vociferously that literally by the end of the next day, he'd got about a dozen schools interested in doing it. His wife was a head teacher of a school, and he knows all of the, you know, the important people. And literally by the end of the next day, he'd seduced us, and we were in it, and we couldn't get out of it. And so we've spent the last 2 days up here being rushed around the schools that are interested. And in fact, every school that we've been to has been not just interested, but grabbing our hands and tearing our hands off. We've been to these magnificently equipped schools with, you know, 20 grand's worth of Apple Macs, and they don't know how to use them, and they've got control rooms and gigantic amounts of recording equipment, but nothing to do with it, you know. And they've grabbed at this like nobody's business, and it's been very, very, very rewarding. Even more so that we're dealing with what they call D schools, which, you know, naughty boys. We went to one of those yesterday and got such a response, you know, and these bad boys are really up for it. If you can get into a situation where you can give some kind of hope and life to even one of these boys that stops them shooting up or mugging or, you know, whatever it is, the awful problems that they are carrying on their shoulders, that makes the whole project worthwhile, you know.
Absolutely.
And Hugh's been looking at, he's got someone working on the funding. So it's all of a sudden started to take off on that level. Very, very, it's brilliant, you know. We've even got someone in Ohio. We've got a school in Ohio who've heard about the Children of Ireland thing, want to know if we can go to America and do one there. And another school in Germany want us to go to Germany and do one. So it's a case now of thinking, what classic rock album can we go to next? I mean, I would go first for Magical Mystery Tour. And we, you know, there's obviously Dark Side of the Moon, and there's so many that I don't think we're going to run out of it, really.
No. I remember when we did the first interview, Tom, that you sort of mooted the point about Sergeant Pepper's and Dark Side of the Moon. And it seems as if it's like a roller coaster, because I did say to you, you know,
I was really
up for that if the opportunity presented itself, and all of a sudden here you are and you're talking to people about it already. So I mean, that's brilliant.
Yeah. Well, Paul has mooted the Dark Side of the Moon project to the Welsh schools. And we're kind of waiting back for, I don't know.
Well, we've actually gone a different route. We've gone to the Assembly first.
Okay.
A friend of mine's, you know, head of Labour policy down there, and he's doing it from his direction, whereas this one now, Sergeant Pepper's, is being driven by a local radio station.
Yeah.
And local school. So, you know, everything is kind of approached differently through different people. This thing has come together like lightning up here. It looks like we're going to be on a goer to start in Easter, finish recording June. Tom will mix over the summer, and it looks like this time next year there'll be a Sergeant Pepper's out with the Children of Scotland. That's what it's looking like. It's been that quick, you know, in terms of putting it together.
Yeah.
So we're just, you know, keeping And the other thing is, you know, as Tom said, you've got these people coming in from Ohio, you've got people coming in from that one state. I mean, you know, we need gas and air with us, you know.
So,
you know, I mean, it's been up at 6. We got up at 6 yesterday morning. We were out all day. We got home at about 8 o'clock. You know, we'd done 8 schools and you know, and then again, we had something to eat, went to bed, got up again, 6 o'clock, we're out again today. We're leaving here early in the morning, you know, travelling back to Wales, but we've got to stop off on the way and find a, you know, an internet cafe or somewhere we can use Skype. And we've got a Chaz Ellis on Lionheart FM up in Northumberland. He's playing a whole of Tubular Bells, actually from beginning to end. And then he wants us to go in on an interview, so we're going to be doing that from somewhere on the M6.
Oh,
so, and then when we get back, we're just winding up the slap soul. We've got a little bit to do, and then Tom will take it back to Ireland on Monday. But then next week, Tom's got Radio Ulster interview. He's got TV in Ulster interview. So it's like, you know, on it goes. And as Tom said, it's like, you know, this thing is picking up fairy dust every day. Every day something new is happening, and every day different people are picking up. And the thing's only out today.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It which seems
to be my coffee hasn't
been
arrived
out for
yet.
Bloody ages, but in reality, it's only come out today.
Yeah.
And all this is happening, you know. I mean, the way it's going, we're going to have to start franchising it, because we're getting more input than we can, you know, to really deal with, really.
Yeah.
Because it started off a one-man show, and now it's a two-man show. We can handle one a year, but I'm not sure if we can handle two a year. Maybe, I don't know. It's certainly going to stop us sitting in bath chairs and dribbling. We're going to be... Yeah,
that reminds me, my copy hasn't arrived yet.
Oh, well.
Because I was going to do exactly the same thing. I was going to sort of do this interview and surround it with parts one and two or whatever, however it...
All right, well, brilliant. Well, that's fantastic, yeah.
Oh, that'd be great. Well, copy... everybody's receiving them literally in these few days, because we've already had a load of Facebook comments about how people have liked them and everything.
Yeah.
So it's all looking very good. I hope you enjoy it when you get it.
I'm sure I will.
It should be. It literally should be with you, you know, in the next day or two. So, I hope it's okay. You know.
Yeah. So by the time I've edited this interview, then that should fit nicely. Then.
Great.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Lovely. Yeah.
So the viral machine. Then, let's sort of talk about that for a little while. How does that? What process of that, or how do the processes work? To get
well. I don't know. The viral machine. You're talking about
you're looking at it. We
haven't got an office full of people working for us. It's literally, Paul's been doing this literally single-handed, and his partner, Michelle Breeze, who's been wonderful, not only with putting up with me, but also she's been, you know, literally there's boxes of CDs on their living room floor, and Michelle's putting them in envelopes and sending them off.
Right.
And, you know, it's a real cottage industry at the moment.
And we got Lars Mullen doing the PR, you know, on the other side of it. And
he lives down your way.
Yeah, he's in your...
He's in Torquay, is he? Torquay.
Right, is he?
And he's doing... Lars, that's it. That's
Lars
it.
Is great. Lars is great.
That's it.
And that's it. That's all there is. You know, what you see is what you get. And I've got no idea how it's going to go or expand from here, because literally I've had very little to do with that side of it, because I don't know anything about it. Paul only knows a bit more than me, but he at least has got the brain enough to be able to research and find out what needs doing, you know.
I mean, the actual album, the physical CD is only available on vinyl discs and downloads, that's it.
Yeah.
You can only buy it through that site. Mm. But you can get downloads now of the album on every 720 digital outlets, including iTunes, Amazon, the whole, out today.
Yeah.
So, but if you want a CD, you have to buy it off the site.
And we weren't expecting a great deal of response for physical CDs. In fact, the first pressing that we've got was meant to be as a promotional, you know, tool, really. But already, you know, we're getting worried about having to get more, because all of a sudden it's starting to look serious enough to need a bit more investment.
Yeah, we can't number and then sign them as well. It goes out. A lot of people like that. You know, they like the fact it's a personal touch and they can talk to us as well, you know, through the internet. So, you know, we're trying to very much keep this on a kind of hands-on personal basis, not like a record company where you post something to them and, you know, you might as well post it down the river because you don't get any response or anything else like that, you know. You don't hear from them again. And pretty much the same with, you know, with Radio 1 and 2 and all the rest of the, you know, commercial stations. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's just a process, you know. We don't know where it's a journey. Nobody knows where it's going to lead. But, I mean, you know, why not do it? It's better to do it than, you know, vegetate in some hole somewhere, you know.
Well, it certainly is, yeah. I totally understand that. It's much better. Yeah. So, are you sort of continually looking to sort of place new musicians into
Yeah, we've got this fantastic guitar player. He's probably the best guitar player I've heard for years. He's a flamenco, but he's taken it way beyond that. There's a guy called Michel Icarino. You might want to Google him. And Tom's going to go over to Spain sometime next year, hopefully record him in the Alhambra Palace. This guy's taken that kind of guitar playing way above what anybody else
he's
has ever
staggeringly
done.
Good.
Staggeringly good, you know.
Yeah, you should look him up.
Yeah,
you know.
Should look him up. He's fantastic. But that's another project we've got that we want to do for next year. Slap Soul, we think. Because I personally, I started Duffy off. You know, we found Duffy. And we kind
you
of...
did.
Me and my partner, you know, we trained her up and pushed her off down to London. And she's done okay. And these two lads, Slap Soul, they're from the same village. We've got them on the go. You know, obviously this Sergeant Pepper's thing will take up quite a bit of time, but we're still looking for things to do. We've got a lot back catalogue. I mean, I've got an unreleased, you know, for Paul Brett Sage from 1970 to 1990. I've got a load of unreleased tracks that kind of, you know, document how the band was. So that's going out. I'm going to redo the first 12-string guitar suite ever that I recorded in 1977, and I got a lot of accolades for that all over the world, but that was 40-odd years ago, or 30-odd years ago. And I've just got a new instrument called the Griffin 12-string, which is a tiny little thing made by Joe Viette in America. And I've just done the first suite for that as well, so I'm going to put the two together and put that out next year.
Fantastic.
Tom's got a July album on the... You know, he's sort of virtually re-recorded a modern one version of it. Yeah. And he's got loads of stuff, instrumental stuff. So we're going to put out some of our back catalogue that we've probably just been recording and ignoring over the years, you know. A lot of kind of material that's unheard. There's that sort of stuff. And people are sending us stuff now, you know, and asking. Obviously, we can't get involved and release everything. But at least we've personally been able to answer them.
Yeah,
which is another thing a bloody record company doesn't do. You know,
absolutely, yes.
They, you know, they just you never hear from them.
Yeah, we kind of.
I'll tell you something, Dave. Well, about 2 years ago, I did a project called I took the Complete Angler, which is an Isaac Walton's. It's the third best-selling book in the English language, right?
Yeah.
And I took all the poems out of that, including Marlowe's Passionate Shepherd And I set them to music. I thought, well, it's the first time, you know, I'm into first. The first time ever somebody's taken the songs out of the Complete Angler and put them to music. And I put them to music. It's a lovely, I'm really pleased with it. I sent a copy to Classic FM in London, right? Because it was right up their street. So, and I had a really beautiful letter back from one of the senior music producers. He said, Paul, this is a fantastic album. We absolutely love it, but we can't play it because it's not on a major label.
Good grief.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, if you check their if you check their license, what they were given a license for, that is not included in it. You know, this kind of selective broadcasting. You know, if you're black, we're not playing you, or if you're white, we're not playing you, or if you're not on a major level.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same to me, and I've still got the letter. I was absolutely staggered, but I kind of felt the guy at the time was totally pissed off himself that this policy existed and he couldn't play an album he liked. I just couldn't believe it. But this is what the problem is. You know, when you get above a certain, you get out of your community radios and you get out of your, you've got these people there, they're just in it for business and money. They're not in it for prestige for music. They're not in it to break new artists in a musical way, the same as X Factor doesn't. I mean, the songs X Factor sings, they were there when I was a kid, when you were a kid.
Yeah.
We're not hearing new original songs from these youngsters.
They're all cliched.
They're cliched songs done now because, you know, Sony BMG that Cal controls, they probably published most of them. So the PRS is there, you know?
Yeah.
It's a bad, bad situation. Not that in our stage we can do anything about it, but at least we can put an alternative out there that if people are fed up with that, you know, then maybe they can generate towards us.
Yeah. We're kind of recreating the concept of A&R, which originally meant artists and repertoire. The A&R department in a record company was there to seek out and nurture new talent.
And develop it over a period of time. I mean, I spoke to my mate, Alan Dan, who was the boss of Peer Music, one of the biggest publishers in the world. He retired last year. And we were talking about, I mean, you know, I said to him, what's happened to street level acts? I said, all I seem to see, a lot of the chart, especially 2 years ago, I think the Christmas chart was 90% was by rich kids. you know, the Mumford and Son, that whole kind of thing. They're all kind of rich family kids.
Yeah.
And I said to him, what's happened to the kind of, you know, when we were kids, you know, it's kids off the street, you know, from all the different backgrounds. And he said, well, there is no money now for artist development. He said, the last money we had to spend on an act was we spent 2 years developing Newton Faulkner. And then before he had a record out, and that was it. He said, but there's no money. He said, what's happening now is people are coming into us, rich families, they are providing the money for the artist development for their own children.
Yes, yeah.
And I think to myself, you know, I'm a political animal, really. I'm looking at the front bench of these morons that are supposed to be governing us now. And we've gone back to the days of the robber baron, you know, where the rich children are getting the privileges and the rich men are getting the privileges whilst they're trying to drive everybody back into serfdom. You know, and it's no different in the music industry now. You know, you've got these people coming in paying to have their children, you know, kind of groomed and done. And there's virtually nothing I see in there of a nature that when I first started, you know, the whole thing was wide open. There was people, you know, you had your Donovans, your Dylans, your Stones, your Humble Dinks, your Tom Joneses, you name it. It was such a
broad,
wide palette.
Yeah.
Now all I'm seeing, you know, it's this kind of very narrow-minded. You either got your gangster stuff, you know, in one level, you know.
It's American pack.
I worked with soul acts in the 60s and 70s, some of the best soul acts in the world. I play guitar behind some of the real, and the blues acts, you know. And I think these guys would turn in their grave now, you know, just to watch, you know, a kind of a guy on there dripping with gold, you know, with little white chicks bums in their faces and, you know, pointing fingers and telling people to do this. Because these guys struggled for years, the blues acts, you know. I mean, they went through all sorts of abuses and everything else to get their music heard. Without that, we wouldn't have done what we've done. When I look what's happening now, you know, they're sort of repeating nursery rhymes, you know, but using kind of, you know, kind of aggressive language to a kind of a structured beat, you know, that just could be a bloody
sample,
drum machine.
Sample
beats.
Yeah.
I think to myself, what's ever happened to black music? You know, I mean, I loved it. You know, now I hate it. You know, it's just nothing in there for me. You know, there's that, or there's these, you know, One Direction or new, you know, No Erection or whatever you like to call them, you know, that manufactured Simon Cowell pop. You know, there's just sort of everything there is not organic. You know, it's not just happening because these guys got, I mean, Dave Grohl, you know, from Nirvana published his thing on the net last week, which he said, it is such a sad state of affairs where, and he was talking about American kids, where they now think the only route to stardom is on American Idol.
Yeah.
Where you wait in queue for 8 hours outside the supermarket to go in and audition for morons, you
get
know,
abused
who get, and they
on.
Get abused in the process.
But that's
sad, you know, he said, listen, kids, go and buy yourself a guitar, get a guitar, go into a garage, phone your mate up, get him a set of drums, get him round, play drums in the garage, just see what happens. And that's the way Everything used to happen. Everything did happen in rock and
Absolutely.
Roll.
Absolutely, yeah.
Didn't happen any other way. It didn't. Certainly didn't happen, you know, from controlled thoughts for people who are only interested in buying another yacht.
I mean, it is. And that's basically the same sort of history in my own life. You know, it was very much seat of the pants. You do it how it feels.
That's it.
We had great times. I remember pushing sort of columns of speakers down into gigs and push chairs and all sorts of things like that.
Well, I remember last year I was sitting there with my partner. We were watching a TV show and there's this, I can't remember this female group, either called Saturdays or Fridays or something. It could have been Wednesdays or monthlies, you know. But at the end of the day, they were in a tour bus, right, going around these pop festivals. There was five girls or something. I'd never heard of them, and probably my ignorance. And they were on this bloody luxury tour bus, the likes I'd never seen, and I've toured all over the bloody place, you know. And they were only going from Essex to, you know, and you know, bloody Milton Keynes or something like that, as a festival or whatever. And when they got out, you know, you've got a massage at 2 o'clock. You've got your hair done at 3 o'clock. You're on stage at 5. And when they walked on stage, somebody gave them a mic, you know, a radio mic. It was in their hands. There was no sound check. It was all done to playback. Probably the singing was mined anyway. And then they came off stage and said, oh, that was really hard work. You know, and I'm thinking to myself, the months and years I sat on a bloody amplifier in the back of a Bedford van, whizzing up and down the motorway with chart hit bands, it just wasn't like that in them days, you know, it's mollycoddled pop that these people seem to wallow in. When I was at the first Glastonbury, there was only about 300 people there. In the end, it was so muddy, everybody got bollock naked and rolled in it. There was one wire coming out the back of the farmhouse, and the tent, you know, the triangle tent was a few sheets hanging up. And then while I look at it now, this year, you know, there's these kids going, oh, I'm not walking. I can't walk in the mud. I can't walk in that mud. No, I'm not walking across that field. You know, what are they putting in the water these days?
I dread to think. I really do, Paul. So tell me a little bit about Slap Soul, then, please.
Slap Soul are brilliant. They're two lads from Wales. What I liked about them, they're very down-to-earth, working-class kids. They said to me, whatever you do, you know, we'd love you to get involved with us, but the one thing we won't do is go on X Factor. So I said, well, you know, boys, I said, you know, yeah, okay, I dig that. Martin Jones has got a voice, you know, he's 22 years of age and he's got a voice like a 56-year-old black man, mature black man. It's just pure, you know, soul and he looks like Kurt Cobain, you know.
Right.
Sam Humphries is a fantastic guitarist in the modern style, you know, he slaps, because that's what it slaps like. He slaps and Martin sings soul.
Yeah.
So it's a very simple thing. And together they produce some incredible music. Everybody that's heard them, I took them to JHS event in Leeds and Lewitt Microphones from America signed them up, Fishman Electronics signed them up, JHS signed them up, you know. It's like they do something totally unique. Together, it's unique. You know, most slappers these days, you know, these rhythmic players, they don't sing. And therefore, you know, it becomes a bit tedious. But with Sam's got a music degree, so obviously he thinks about when he plays guitar behind the singer. He thinks about, you know, the structure of what he's playing. He's just not playing 3 million notes and, you know, and tapping either end of a guitar. Martin, on the other hand, you know, writes the lyrics. Sam writes them. It's a brilliant little partnership.
Good.
Tom's just, you know, we finished recording the album. We hope to have it out early next year sometime, you know, and then we'll see what happens to them, you know. But everybody that's heard them, you know, they put something up. They put a Facebook page up. Oh, in about 3 weeks, they have nearly 1,000 likes on it, you know, which it's bloody hard to get that, especially for an unknown act. They just seem to pick up this fan base. You know, there's something magical there. I don't know what it is. It happens every now and then. And we shall see once we actually get the album together next year and put it out. The reason we did this first was obviously it's great to launch your label on Tubular Bells. Whatever happens, you know, it is a fantastic piece of music. This thing with the Children of Ireland, when I saw it, I thought, what a bloody waste, you know. It's just been sitting there, and it's just such a different way of doing it. And it, you know, it's a fantastic piece of music that Mike's written in the first place. And, you know, 40 years down the line, it was the 40th anniversary of Virgin this year. What better thing to do? And to actually almost take it full circle from Mike's initial experimental stage where he brought a load of little bits to Tom, you know, there wasn't any structure to it. Yeah. Tom saw the potential of it, put it all together for him, you know, persuaded Richard it was worth going with. And from that, you know, kind of initial, you know, cesarean birth, if you like, a world empire was structured from Richard, you know. And Richard actually openly admitted this year on the blog on our site that he put that, you know, if it wasn't for Tubular Bells, there would have been no Virgin.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
This thing has now sort of come back full circle and gone back into virtually the same structure as Mike brought it to Tom with taking it into schools, and schools have come out with little ideas.
Yeah.
And it's all Tom put it together again in a different way. So it's almost like a rebirth.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and hopefully we're kind of going to follow that philosophy that Virgin was set up to do, you know, rather than sort of, you know, go and finding massive amount of money to poke behind acts, you know, just for the sake of it. We're just going to let this thing happen naturally.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't got the money to, you know, to kind of throw money at the wall just to, you know, buy our way into anything. And we wouldn't want to do that anyway.
No, of course.
You know, so we're just going to get good stuff and put it out.
Ethical music, I think, would be the term for that.
That's right. And if people don't like it, well, that's tough. If people do like it, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So, right. Well, gentlemen, on that note, I mean, we've gone for nearly 50 minutes, so...
Yeah, there you go.
I hope you've got enough. We do feather on.
You should be able to edit that down to 3.
I mean, it's been fantastic talking to you both again.
All right.
You for the first time, Paul, obviously. Please bear in mind, Tom, and Paul, that if I can be of any assistance on the next project,
brilliant.
I would love to be involved in it. As I said to you before, Tom,
you're in it now, whether you like it or not. You're on our database. You know, we know what you look like, and we know where you live. So.
Yes, you do.
He looks like John Renbourn.
He does it. You look surprisingly like John Renbourn. You're aware of that.
That's not bad an accolade.
That's brilliant. Anyway, look, we're going to have something to eat now.
Yeah,
after
dinner's
ready. You know, the Scottish DJ is kindly looking after us these couple of days, and we're off early in the morning, so we're just going to have a bit of dinner with him, and then we're going to head back to Wales.
Well, thanks very much for taking time.
Keep in touch, buddy.
I'll look forward to getting my copy in the next couple of days, because I really do want to...
It should be cold by now.
I really do want to stitch it round this interview, so...
Great.
That would be brilliant.
All right, David. Yeah. Thank you very much indeed. Blessed be.
Thanks so much, and blessed be.
Yeah. See you later.
Cheers. Thank you.
There you have it, Tubular Bells by the Children of Ireland, and a classic piece of music it is as well. And who would believe that it's 40 years since the release of that album? Incredible. And also the interview with Tom and Paul. Thank you very much, guys, for doing that interview. I hope that we didn't upset anybody with some of the language, but it's a warts and all interview, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Looking forward to working with you again on the new project. Who knows what that will bring? So until the next time, this is The Merlin saying thank you very much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed it. This is Cauldron FM, the sound of magic. And our email address, if you want to get in touch, is cauldronfm@mail.com. So until the next time, as I say, bye for now and blessed be.
Cauldron FM.
Online.
The sound of magic. Cauldron FM is a Moonshadow Media production.